I come from a line of country folk, not much different than what we have here. Usually in August of every year, they would have the Bay County Fair, which was classic county fair, kind of like what we got here. And I love the county fair. My grandparents also always had their fruits and vegetables displayed in the area that got prizes for fruits and vegetables. I don't even know what it was called, but we got to go through and look and see where they were and what they did and how they got a blue ribbon or a red ribbon or whatever. My uncle owned a Case Machinery sales and service. And he would bring his combines and his tractors and his cultivators and put them out with the rest of the combines and tractors and cultivators. And the big discussion was between Case and John Deere. And my grandfather had a John Deere and my uncle sold Case, so it was a big ongoing thing. But the fair was always spectacular. And we got to sit on the farm equipment, and nobody else did. They had security guards that would allow us to come because the equipment belonged to my uncle. So my cousin and I would go and climb around on the combines, and none of the other kids could, so we felt just a little bit superior because of that. Years went on, and of course I left and moved out of the area and experienced the Wood County Fair, which was pretty much identical to what we knew. And one summer we were on vacation, Janelle and Lindsay and I, and Lindsay was small. Lindsay was maybe 5 or 6. And we were coming back through Bay City and we saw a sign for the Bay County Fair. I thought, oh, this is going to be really cool because we're going to go to the fair. Well, we went to the fair, and much to my surprise, like with a lot of stuff that can happen in 40 years, it changed. Everything was gone. I mean, there was no midway. There was like pony rides. There weren't any animals other than a petting zoo. And there was a little bouncy house. And I'm building up this great fair, and we show up, and it's less than a carnival. And I remember Lindsay saying to me, this is no fair. This is no fair. No, I mean, like, this is unjust. She was, you know how your little ones are just something happens and it's got to be fair. And if it's not fair, they're just indignant. I mean, you watch a bunch of little kids playing baseball and they will stand there and argue about the rules longer than actually playing. Well, she was just indignant. Well, poor Lindsay is now 24, and we still remind her of the no fair fair, as we call it, the no fair fair. And for her, growing up, whenever she would become indignant about some injustice that was done to her, she would be reminded of the no fair fair. That's when I read the gospel reading, I thought about the no fair fair. Because, you know, I'm just convinced that I'm in the need of God's mercy. And I even deserve God's mercy. But I'm not so sure about you. You ever notice that? We always cut ourselves a break. But the other folks, not so much. How harshly we judge. And yet we have been shown such phenomenal mercy. You know, the reading from Isaiah in the beginning tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is still near. That mercy and that glory is offered to us What do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to turn away. And that mercy is there for us. But often we are very slow to offer that to other people. We judge them very harshly. People that are usually different than us. I'm working with a guy right now in individual therapy and recovery from his addiction. And he goes to a very fundamentalistic church. And he doesn't know the rest of my life story, what we do together here. And he says to me the other day, he says, you know, he says, a lot of people in my church don't believe this. And he's giving me this statement as a preparation that I may be very surprised. He says, you know, I even believe that Catholics can go to heaven. And I thought to myself, well, I'm so glad for that. That takes a load off of my mind. That even Catholics can go to heaven. What about Muslims? What about transgendered people? What about people that are different than me? I'm pretty sure that I might even go as far as say we are in the need of God's mercy, but I don't know about those other folks. Because you know what? They came to the vineyard at the end of the day, and they didn't work as hard as we. Saw something the other day that Pope Francis said. And a friend of mine always says to me, this guy's got to stop talking this way. What if the Pope hears him saying this? Sort of tongue-in-cheek, right? St. Francis talking about allowing those who have been divorced and remarried to receive the Eucharist challenges his own cardinals by saying, we need to be more like Jesus and less like the Pharisees. Whoa, that cut, didn't it? That stung to these folks that say, we have been in the heat of the day all day, and now you're going to let these guys come in? You're going to sit down at table with tax collectors and sinners? Unheard of. It's the no fair fare. Well, I'm certainly glad God is merciful. Because quite frankly, I'd be in deep trouble if He's not. And I'm glad that He's merciful to you. And that He's merciful to other people that are different than me. Other people that I don't understand. I don't know what's in their heads. I don't know what makes them tick. I don't know why they do what they do. One of the things that I was going to talk about last week, but I forgot because I'm old, was that there's a series of talks coming up at Lourdes College in Sylvania on Muslim-Catholic dialogue. And I brought the article and I'm going to give that to the council because we had talked as a parish about getting something like that going. Well, I went to one of the talks last week on Thursday. And this talk was on Mary in the two traditions. Tradition of Mary in Islam and Mary the mother of Jesus and Mary in the scripture. And one of the Sylvanian Franciscan sisters, a doctorate in theology, talked, and then another woman who was a doctorate in Islamic studies from the University of Michigan, they presented the two perspectives. I didn't know that Mary was in the Muslim traditions. That's what intrigued me about this talk. Here's the Reader's Digest abridged version that I found very interesting. There's 119 chapters in the Quran. and they're all named after people, and they're all men, basically, in special events, except one. One. The 19th chapter is entitled Mary. It talks about the virgin birth. It talks about, now it talks about it from a different perspective. Like Mary was given over to God, you know, by her mother, that, you know, we, from our tradition, we know to be Saint Anne, and that she went and after she was supposed to be a boy, that was part of the deal. She came out a girl, they were freaked out. They put her in the care of Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. She served in this, I mean, it's, you know, this whole different story. But all the way down to the birth of Jesus. There's only one female in the Quran. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I mean, those of us in the United States, when we hear, you know, radical Islam, and if you come from these countries, you can't come in, and you know, I mean, we get kind of freaked out by all of that. What if these folks that I judge so harshly are coming to the Lord at the end of the day? And I'm the one that's saying, wait a minute, I've been working here putting in all my time, and you're going to treat these guys the same as you do me? Lord, that's the no fair fare. But aren't I like a 6-year-old crying foul at a Monopoly game because somebody's dice didn't roll right? Turn your eyes toward Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light his glory and his grace.